The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Somebody has provided for me, somebody being Jesus, this awesome place down there as an inheritance where there's righteousness and peace and joy and all my needs are met. And it's just going to be wonderful. I'm going to be free from all these bondages, but you can kind of see it, but there's a jungle between you and it.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
We have an amazing show for you today. Today, Joyce is going to answer a few questions from social media. One person asked how to overcome temptation. You'll also hear from a man who found life after a deadly diagnosis. And we'll give you a message of hope that will carry you beautifully through the week. First, here's another question from social media. This comes from Kenny, and Kenny says, "How do I stick to my decisions and quit wavering?" Well, Kenny, that is a big question that many people are asking. And recently at a conference, Joyce felt so impressed by God to address this question right in the middle of when she was talking about something else. She just knew that God wanted this question answered. So we have that coming up for you right now as she answers, "How do I make this decision?"
I believe that there are people here tonight that are in between two decisions. You're trying to decide, should you do this, should you do that? Should you do this, should you do that? Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing to do? And I just felt like that the Lord put it in my heart to share this word about discernment because, and please listen, if you follow your feelings, if you follow maybe what everybody else is telling you to do, or if you follow even your own just natural mind apart from the Holy Spirit, or if you would just simply do what you want to do, you are more than likely going to end up in big trouble. And so you've got a little something fighting with you, and that's what the Bible calls discernment. It's like a knowing down on the inside of you that maybe you shouldn't do that. You know, just because we want to do something doesn't mean that it's right. Amen. Now, sometimes we want to do something and it is right. But if that's the case, we'll have a lot of peace about that. But when you've got a fight going on inside of you about something that you're getting ready to do, trust me, because we've all made mistakes, you're so much better off to follow what you believe is the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? You probably hear from God a lot better than you think you do. Come on, I said you probably hear from God a lot better than you think you do. Actually, in 1 John 2:21, it says that there is an anointing that abides in us. That means has come to live, dwell, and remain. And that you won't need anybody to teach you. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need the gift of teaching of the word, but it means you don't have to have somebody telling you what to do all the time because you've got wisdom himself living on the inside of you. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, there's a handful of words that I think we need to know a lot more about than what we do. Verse 2 says that people might know skillful and godly wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. And my little simple definition of wisdom is to do now what you'll be happy with later. Now, that's not the official definition. Wisdom is actually the proper use of knowledge. It doesn't do you any good to know something if you don't really know what to do with it. But I think it also means to do now what you're going to be happy with later. Wisdom and instruction. Discern. Say discern. Comprehend. See, that means to have thorough understanding of something. And understanding, say understanding. That they might receive instruction in wise dealing and the discipline. Say discipline. Let's say that one twice. of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity, that prudence, say prudence. You know, prudence is good management. It's taking the resources you have and managing them well. That they might be given to the simple. And see, I love this because the simplest person can have all these things if they have Christ. This is not education. I mean, an education is one thing, but you can have all this and have graduated from the eighth grade. You can have all this and not have a college degree. Matter of fact, depending on what you're taught in college, you could be better off to just have this. Just saying. Because sometimes they talk you out of believing in God, and that's sure not the way to go. That prudence might be given to the simple, and knowledge and discretion. Discretion means you can keep a secret. That you don't. And discernment, say discernment. Discernment to the youth. Now, actually, one of the gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about is the gift of discernment. And if I were you, I would pray for that every single day, because I'll tell you what, we live in times right now where we desperately, desperately need discernment. So we have to get accustomed to not just living off the top of our head and according to what we think and according to how we feel. Do you know that feelings are the believer's number one enemy? You know why? Because they're really fickle. You can feel like doing something on Monday night, sign on the dotted line, and on Tuesday morning, those vacations have taken a vacation. I mean, those feelings have taken a vacation, and you're like, well, I don't feel like doing that now. But it's too late. You've already signed up. Now you got 7 years of payments. Come on. So I know we all need this, but how many of you are really in that position right now where you're really in between two decisions? You're really trying to decide what to do. So I'm just going to tell you this, and I don't go around saying this stuff real often. I feel like this is really more of a word from God than just like a little exhortation from me. And so I really want you to pay heed to this, that God has got a great life planned for you. And I mean, there's a lot of decisions we make and they're not that major, but if you're at a major decision-making point in your life or what you're deciding is something important, be sure that you go, and you know, I don't mean this to sound crude, it's not in the Bible, but be sure you go with your gut. You know, because really, it's what we feel in here. How many of you have ever married somebody and it turned out to be a disaster that you kind of knew in your gut you weren't supposed to do? Okay, now let me ask you, what kind of brand of stupid is it if we do stuff that we know we shouldn't do? So having done that once, we don't want to just keep doing it over and over and over and over. You know, we have wisdom. We're not stupid people. We have wisdom. My granddaughter was asked by a friend in school, she's 15, the other day, have you ever smoked pot, Emily? And she said, no. And the girl said, well, are you going to? And she said, no. She said, well, are you going to at least when you get to college? And she said, no. And the girl said, well, why not? And she said, well, because I'm not stupid. I thought, go, Emily, that's really good. Amen. Okay, so one last time. Make decisions for yourself. Don't be overly impressed by what everybody else, and I'm not saying it's wrong to get advice. I'm just saying if you're going to get it, you need to get the right kind. Amen. And hear from God and follow what you really have peace about and what you really think is wisdom. Now, I want to pray especially for all of you that are in that place right now. And I think God's going to do some turnaround here, and you're going to stay out of some trouble that you might have gotten yourself into if you wouldn't have been here tonight. So, Father, we thank you for giving us a word in due season. And we all want to pay heed to this. Whether we have a situation now or we're going to have one later, we all come up against these decisions all the time. And so I pray that you would take what I've said prayerfully led by your Spirit, and that you would expand on it and expound on it for them and show each person here exactly what they should do, and not only show them what to do, Father, but give them the courage to do it. No matter what anybody else says about it, let them follow you and not anything else. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I hope that question was helpful for you. And like Joyce said, keep a lot of us out of trouble. Coming up next, Joyce is going to talk about deliverance from temptation as she answers the question, what am I doing wrong? So let's see what you have to say right now as we listen to your voice. We have a comment from Ronald, and Ronald says, by the time I was 9 years old, I had lost both of my parents to HIV/AIDS. When I was 19, I started feeling sick, and I was advised to go to be checked. I tested positive for HIV. I became resentful, hopeless, and I wanted to die. In 2010, I gave my life to Jesus, and I began to study and meditate on the scriptures day and night. And now I know that the Lord is surely the only giver of all life. I was born with this virus, but to this day, I'm healthy and strong and serving as a pastor. Praise God, the only one who can give life and take it according to His purpose. Well, Ronald, that is quite a story, and we thank you for sharing with us, and we thank you for being a servant to the Lord, for what He is doing in your life as well. We hope that today you will share with us how the Lord has taken a very difficult circumstance just like this in your life and is now using it for good. Do that on Facebook, on Twitter, use hashtag EA. We all have to realize that there are things in our lives, in our world, that we just don't understand, and it can be so hard sometimes. There was a particular time when we had the opportunity to go to Cambodia. Part of my job here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is working together with Hand of Hope to go around the world to see all of the people that together we're able to help and to share their stories. Well, once when we were in Cambodia, we were at a trash dump where many, many children work day and night to make a living. And we met a little girl named G. Well, the hardest thing about a situation like that is seeing the difficult circumstances that people are in. But the great thing about it is being able to do something to change their lives. Well, what we were able to do in Cambodia was to open a feeding site and an education site for children there so they could get out of that trash dump and make their lives so much better. So when we met G, we were so excited because she was going to be able to get into this program. Well, then when it was time a little while later to go back to Cambodia, we were so excited to see how G was doing. And I was just devastated. I was crushed because when we found her, she had not been in the program. Her parents refused to let her go. And for me, it was one of those times that I just did not understand what God was doing, why life had to be so hard, why it was that way. I remember just getting in the van and everybody had such a hard time who was on our crew dealing with it. And I just broke down crying, just heartbroken to see what she was still dealing with when I had such hope that she would be better. And God talked to me very strongly at that time that this life is hard and that not everything works out the way that we want it to. But we should never get discouraged in trying to help people. We should never have a feeling of there is no hope, because with Christ there is always hope. And time after time we may see disappointment, but one of those circumstances is going to change everything for someone else. So if you don't give up and you keep trying to help, you will be amazed with what God does. Doesn't mean it's all perfect, but boy, now when I see other children who are still in difficult circumstances, but God moves and grabs them out of those circumstances, I know even those disappointments are worth it. Sometimes it's hard, but God is always there. Well, right now it's time for more of Joyce's teaching. So here's a question we received from Twitter. This comes from James. He says, what is the one secret to overcoming sin and temptation? Because I love the Lord, but they get the better of me. Well, James, I'm really sorry to tell you that there's really not one secret to overcoming sin and temptation, but there is a method that Joyce talks about as she answers the question, what am I doing wrong?
And so today we've come to the name Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord our banner. And it basically means that he is our victory, or he's the one who gives us victory. And we can really expect God, not just have to kind of wait and see, but we can expect God to give us victory over sin, over addictive habits, over all kinds of bondages, over a painful past, victory over the enemy. He is in the business of giving his people victory. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. In Daniel 11:32, the Bible says, those who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand strong and do exploits for God. I love that. If you know God, not just if you go to church, going to church is lovely. I highly recommend that everybody be very regular in being plugged into a good local church where you can learn and grow and be accountable. But it's those who know their God. I went to church for a lot of years and didn't know God. Exodus 17, 8 through 15. Then came Amalek, the descendants of Esau, and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek, and tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, God had placed his power in that rod that Moses had, and that rod was what was stretched out over the Red Sea when it parted. So Joshua did as Moses said, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the hilltop. And when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy and grew weary. So the other men took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So don't ever complain about your seat. He was sitting on a rock. Then Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And we all need people to hold our hands up when we get tired and weary. Amen. And Joshua mowed down and disabled Amalek and the people with the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, and I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. And verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner, which means sign of conquest. So really, in essence, when he said, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, what he literally meant is, make no mistake, God is the one who has given us this victory. And let me tell you, God is a God who gives victory. And whatever situation you're in right now, you need to stop being afraid of it, and you need to know your God and know that you can do whatever you need to do, and that however long it takes, and nobody knows exactly what that is, but the battle's already won, and when it's over, you will have the victory. You will have the victory. I know it by experience, and I know it by the Word of God. Now, one of the areas that God always gives us victory over is sin. But I want you to notice in what we just read in Exodus, and this is going to be kind of a high point of what I want to bring to you this morning. Moses followed God. He did what God put on his heart to do. And when I go back all the way to the condition I was in when I first got into a real serious relationship with God, I was a churchgoer a long time before I got serious. And I always like to kind of share that, because I think a lot of people are going to church and they think that's all they need to do, but what you need is victory. And if you don't have victory, then you need to start asking yourself why, and you need to start looking at the Word to see maybe what you're missing that's available to you. God has called us to be lights shining out brightly in a dark world. And that doesn't mean we have no problems, but it means that we have victory over our problems. Amen? And so if I look all the way back to the condition I was in, I mean, God has given me so much victory in my life. And it's been 37 years worth of little victories and little more victories and little victories, day after day, little by little. And you know, part of our problem is we don't like the little by little. We don't like the from glory to glory, because in between those glories, there's sometimes a pretty long span of time where not too much of anything is going on. Amen? But as I look back, I can tell you that it wasn't just because I loved God or just because I read the Word of God. I give God all the credit and all the glory, but let me tell you, you and God are partners. And God will give you things that He wants you to do, and He will also tell you some things that He doesn't want you to do. Some of them are in the Word and they're for everybody, but there are things that God speaks to us specifically, things that He lays on our heart that are just between us and God. Times when maybe He requests sacrifices. There was one time when I had a whole bunch of money saved up for something I wanted. And I mean, we gave on a regular basis. We weren't stingy people. We were givers. But God asked me to give away everything that I had saved. Man, I tried to get out of that. But you know, the best thing is to follow God when you feel like He's leading you to do something. Now listen to what I'm going to say. God is never, ever trying to take anything away from you. He didn't need my little money that I had saved up, but it was something that I was a little too attached to. And sometimes God will request something from us because He wants to get us detached from our attachments. And when we say, God, You're first and You're everything, sometimes He asks us to prove it. And I can pretty much guarantee you that some of you are still holding on to things that God told you to get rid of a long time ago. You're still in relationships, friendships that are hurting your walk with God, and you know down deep inside that it's something that's not healthy for you, but rather than be lonely for a little while, you keep unsafe relationships rather than maybe be by yourself for a little while and wait for God to give you the right relationships. So I want to tell you that along with all those little by littles and from glory to glories, there has been a lot of little obediences and little things that God asked me to do. And some of them were things that didn't make any sense. And some of them were things that I did understand. And I just feel that I really need to make a point today that when you're born again, let's just say you're living in total darkness. Now you step out and you're born again. Well, one of the first things you begin to realize is, hey, somebody has provided for me, somebody being Jesus, this awesome place down there as an inheritance where there's righteousness and peace and joy and all my needs are met. And it's just going to be wonderful. I'm going to be free from all these bondages. But you can kind of see it, but there's a jungle between you and it. And that jungle is that mess in our lives that needs to be straightened out. And we have a roadmap through that jungle, and it's the Word of God. It's our roadmap. And if we simply will just one step at a time, one thing at a time, one step at a time, one thing at a time, one step at a time. Let me tell you something. Get over being in a hurry and make a decision today that you're in for the long haul.
Great questions today, wonderful answers, and there is more to the teaching that you just heard. Joyce talks about the character of God and how it applies to our lives by breaking down the meanings of His names. So if you read through the Bible as it explains who God is, it gives you a deeper understanding of how He relates to you. So we have this teaching from Joyce called, Who is God? It's 4 CDs, or you can get it digitally, and it's yours today. All you need to do is give us a call. And when you make that donation, remember, you are not only getting this very helpful resource, because the more we understand about what God's Word says, the better our lives get, but you're also helping many people around the globe by supporting all of the ministries of Joyce Meyer Ministries. So we are always grateful, and we hope to hear from you today. And we hope you'll be here next time on Everyday Answers.
And I'm not waiting for God to do something in my life. He's already done everything in my life that He needs to do. He's waiting for me to believe it.
Now, I know many of you have a question right on the tip of your tongue that you have been waiting to ask. Don't wait any longer. You can ask it right now. Go to social media. On Twitter, use hashtag AskJoyce and be watching right here as we answer those questions. One day it may be yours. Today, we want to leave you with a short message of hope from Joyce, and we believe that it will really encourage you.
No matter what happens in your life, no matter what comes against you, no matter what challenges you have, you can do whatever you need to do in life through Christ who strengthens you. God never promises us a trouble-free life, but He does promise to never leave us nor forsake us. I don't have to live in fear. God is on my side, and I get to give God my problems, cast my care, go on and enjoy my life while God works on my situation. Don't be afraid of things. Learn to take your life one day at a time. Trust God. The Bible says that God chose you on purpose because He loved you. Every day of your life was written in His book before you ever breathed one of them. He knows every decision you're going to make before you make it. And He still says, I love you unconditionally. I will never give up on you. I will work with you and hold you and watch over you. God loves you. Let me tell you something. When you're in the lowest pit, God can have His eye on you. And God, His arm is not too short that He can't reach down in your pit and lift you out. What you're going through now is a moment in time. It's not going to last forever. This too shall pass. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how long it takes. Don't you dare give up in the silent years. Suddenly, God is going to break through. But I know that I know that I know that the Word of God is true and that He changes lives and He gives you a life worth living. And no matter what anybody has done to us or said to us, no matter what has happened to us, you are not hopeless and you are not helpless, because there is a God that is alive who loves you, personally loves you, and wants to help you. And so really, when you get right down to it, it's just all about Jesus.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.